Our lessons today are in the book of Romans. We're in the 8th chapter. We're going to start in verse 14. For all of you who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? We hope for what we do not see. We wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Okay, so since the kids are doing the big sermon today, I get to do time with the older church. And no, I'm not going to make you come sit on the floor with me. We do Pentecost every year, and it's a little crazy every year. And that fits with the sense of the Spirit coming in and stirring things up. But we almost always read that Acts 2 passage, and we kind of get stuck there, and we kind of just stay there. This year, the passage is paired with this passage in Romans, and it asks the question about what kind of spirit are we given? Are we given a spirit of fear or a spirit of adoption? Now, Paul answers the question for us, because Paul likes to ask and answer his own questions. But I thought that was perhaps the best question we could ask ourselves, given how the life of this church has gone in just the last couple weeks. We have had to ask ourselves, what is our spirit? It's impossible to believe that that thing on the other side of the curtain was full of stuff 12 hours ago. And Gayla and Claire, neither one of them really wanted to be in charge, but somehow they both got stuck with being in charge. And then Gayla's life went off the rails. And so I did what I do when things go off the rails around here, is I texted Claire and I texted Jean. Because that's what you do. And Claire's response was, don't worry about it, we've got it. What kind of spirit has been poured into that woman? We have spent a lot of time over the last 2 weeks in prayer, the last 3 weeks in prayer, for families that are grieving and struggling and on the edge of life and death. We've canceled a session meeting over that stuff, which normally, you kind of got to show up for session meetings. What is the spirit that has been given to us in the middle of premature births and overdoses and not knowing if people are going to live or people are going to die? What spirit has been given to us in the celebration of a life ended at 102 years and 362 days? Yesterday, I spent a lot of time with Dan and Susie because they were speaking really for the first time in public about what happened in their lives 35 years ago. And Susie doesn't like me to say this, and it's okay. I have the microphone, so I get to say it anyway. You guys know that when I came here, I drove across I-70 from Salt Lake City all the way across that vast wasteland that is western Kansas. And there was a blizzard somehow south of me. I still haven't figured out how that works. And I drove down to Dan and Susie's house where I lived for the first 2 months I was your pastor. And I find it remarkable, given their story, that they are still willing to open their house and their lives to people. What kind of spirit has been poured out? That is the question I want you to think about this week. What kind of spirit has been poured out onto us and into us, and where does it go? I want us to think about it. Makes a great sound. Because it's been poured out onto us in baptism, and it's poured out onto us in Pentecost, and it's poured out onto us almost all the time. I want you to imagine, if you will, what communion would look like if it was your 3 or 4 year old child with the 64 ounce container of grape juice to pour it into the cup. You guys have that mental image? It can be, you know, an orange juice container or a milk jug, or you know what's going to happen next, right? We're going to spill it. Or we're not going to be able to stop it when it gets to the top. I want you to imagine that overflowing is not a disaster, but that it is the promise of God's abundance. This week, this season after Pentecost, look at the people who sit with you in the pews, who walk through life with you, and look for the Spirit that has been poured out into them and upon them. And be bold enough to tell them you see it. Be bold enough to call out their gifts in Christ and in the Spirit. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.